I'm excited about today. My wife and my daughter got to go on the mission trip to Jamaica, and I think my wife will be speaking this morning. But if you guys would welcome Kyle and Joy to the stage. This is a dynamic couple, both highly gifted, and you're gonna have a great experience this morning.
Hello. How are you guys doing? We're all good, I'm assuming, because we just had worship, so we're good. We had an amazing trip. Our team was awesome, and I feel like God really pushed us, you know, out of our comfort zone in a lot of ways, and there was a lot of growth on our team, as well as we feel like God really impacted the people that we were ministering to. And I'll just real quick, you know, we, Joy and I were actually pretty nervous when we decided to go on this trip this year because no one had signed up for a long time. And so we were kind of worried, and we were actually pretty close to pulling the plug. And then, you know, I think Anna pushed her dad and said, hey, we're going on this trip. And different people started saying they want to go. And then it was cool because a trip that almost didn't happen turned out, because no one was there, turned out to be the perfect group of people to go on this trip. And every single person had their place on this trip. It was really cool to see that. Because they stepped out in faith, you know, God blessed this whole thing. So sorry if this is a little awkward. I'm not a speaker. They give me a mic over there, but they mute it so you guys can't hear it. So I just make inappropriate jokes before we start worship. So anyways, so let's have the group come up. We're going to have some of these guys share some things that they learned on the trip, and we're going to try to, so another thing that, for any of you guys haven't been on like a mission trip or anything like that, a lot of times when people come back from it, Andy can attest to this, when you see some of the injustice that happens around the world, you come back and you sort of want to like yell at everyone and say, stop wasting your money, we kind of like, so we're going to try to do this in grace. And we're going to just share our hearts and hopefully not offend too many people. So, this is, by the way, Justin and Irvin. These are, Justin's a coworker with Joe. And Joe had supported our mission trip last year and the year before. So Joe was like, okay, you guys, you have to come this year. And so, we got them to go, and it was, again, these guys were meant to be on this trip, and they were a huge blessing, and so I'll let them share.
Good morning. I'm just going to speak. We went on a mission trip. It's my first mission trip, and actually I had a wonderful time. They made me preach the first night, and I'm not a preacher. I should say I am, because it's been ordained that's what I'll do. So on the trip, just to share a little story, the most important thing for me on the trip, it was kind of funny. Joy's father, Pastor Mike, when I first came onto the trip, I had all these bags. I had two big luggage bags, and I had a backpack. You know what I mean? I'm ready for anything and all things that's going to go on this trip, because it's my first trip, so I don't know what's really going on. So I bring a suitcase full of bags. I got food. I got everything in this thing, because I don't know what's going to pop off. So at the end of the day, he's picking on, man, you're like a prima donna. Man, you got this bag, and look at you. And I'm just like, oh, come on, man. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, they popped up, and they said that I had to preach. And I didn't know what to preach on. So I was praying and asking God, what should I share with the people? And that was it. It was the bag. So what are we carrying in our life day to day, the luggage that you carry in your life that you don't need, that you need to put down, that easily besets you? What are we carrying day to day? And come to find out, I came here today, and I was joking with Joe when I first arrived, And the only thing that we need to carry is this. This is the only thing that we need to carry. You know what I mean? Every word that proceeds out of God's mouth, this is what you need. This is your survival kit. It's not the luggage. So, you know what I mean? Put the luggage down and run the race. All right?
And this is Irvin.
Amen. God bless you. It's a privilege and it's an honor to be here today at Homefront Church. Let's give Homefront Church a hand clap today. God bless you. I'm Pastor Hamilton, Spiritual Temple Church of God in Christ in Shepherd, Texas. It was an honor and it was a privilege to be on my first time trip to Jamaica. But before I went to Jamaica, God showed me going there. Man, it's something how God can show you a thing before you get there. See, but we got to be ready. The enemy would have us to fear what God is wanting to take us. But we cannot let fear grip us because, and I always say, if you take the F from fear, you got an ear. So you don't give fear an ear. So what you do is you give God your ear and let him take you beyond the fear. So I thank God today. So I was very, you know, kind of feel, but at the same time, I learned something. I learned to trust God like never before, and I'm still learning. And it was a privilege to be invited to go on the trip, and I say my son, and I love him dearly. It was just an honor and a privilege to get there. We got there for everybody else, and we had a chance to meet people. I'm a people person. If you're not a people person, then you're not to be a leader. So I thank God for that, and it was just an honor to meet all of these lovely peoples, man. I said that's my new extended family. I love them, and I mean that. God said he has many members, so I was thankful. But when I went to Jamaica, I got a chance to see things, and I got a chance to see how that God provides and how that he takes a little and make a lot. And, you know, like they say, we had a whole lot of stuff. And what really, we had so much stuff, I called some kids to the gate, Josephine, and I said, here. And it was just a privilege to give them what I had. And, you know, and it just blessed my heart. And when we went to the kids that didn't have a little bit of everything, what impressed me was just the little airplanes and the little bazoos and the little wristband that they had. They enjoyed that, and that set me on fire. How about Sunday? Hallelujah. Y'all forgive me. They know I was acting bad in Jamaica, but when the Spirit of God is on you, you can't help yourself. So and one little young lady that held my hand the whole time we was there, she didn't want nobody else to touch me, not even to hold my hand. And that, you know what? That was a privilege. And it impressed me so that I said, this is my daughter. And I said, I told him, I said, before I leave here, I want to get her address because I want to be able to import into her life. I want to be able to let her know that somebody cares. And God blessed me to buy her a little emlet as I go and let others talk. And I told her this. I said, never let nobody ever tell you nobody loves you. That no, this emblem would always let you know that somebody cared about you enough to buy you and show a little piece of love to you. This is something that nobody could take from you. It belongs to you. So that's the way God is. God has given you something that nobody can take it from you. God bless you, home for a church. Be of good courage.
Hey, I'm Christine. Yeah, Christine. And Caroline went with me, too, but she's up in Kids City. I didn't even think to have her down here. But anyway, actually, that was one of the most awesome parts of the trip for me is getting to take my daughter and getting to see her totally go out of her comfort zone, absolutely, because, y'all, we were out of her, you know, there was no running water, there was no air conditioning, there was no, you know, all the things, the luxuries, you know, food that we're used to none of that was there. And getting to see her work through that and get past that and be okay with that was awesome. The fact that at 10 years old she could do that, because some of us adults can't do that, can we? Anyway, and one, the thing that struck me the most, y'all are seeing the pictures of the orphanage. Some of them I was, oh, there she is right there. When we first went, it was very overwhelming. And Pastor Mike had said it was going to be overwhelming because those kids, they're grabbing on you. And like Pastor Irvin said, you know, she wouldn't let go of him and they're touching you. And Caroline was like, you know, she was kind of freaking out because she's like, why does everybody keep getting in my bubble? They're, you know, they're touching me and stuff. And but then she worked through it and then she started like painting the faces and stuff and just started loving on the kids and realizing, hey, this is okay. It's okay that they're doing that. And y'all, it's so freaking sad. Can I say that word in church? Sorry. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. It's so sad because, y'all, that orphanage in the middle of nowhere, up way high in the mountains, I mean, middle of nowhere, the roads are horrific to get there. It's in the middle, and these kids are just stuck there. But sometimes, I asked the lady, and she said it's all kids with all, across the board, mental illness, you know, from ADD or autism to spina bifida. So it's not just one thing. It's all these things, and it's just the families can't deal with it. So they stick them in this orphanage in the middle of nowhere, and then some of the kids just live there and die there, y'all. And it's so sad. So that, like, him loving on that girl, oh, that's priceless. And us just going and loving on that girl. Although when we left, I told Pastor Mike, I was like, we didn't do enough. We should have done more. There's so much more we could have done. But he was like, just said, it's okay. You know, we just did, you know, coming to love on them just that one day. But, y'all, if y'all think about it, pray for those kids, though, because it's just so sad that they're up there. I just can't even imagine. Okay, that's my first point. Is that okay? Okay. Second thing I wanted to say. One other thing. Pastor Mike, on the last day, made us go into the big city of Jamaica. You know, the whole time we were up in the mountains, but then when we had to go into the city, he made us go do street ministry. And I have not done street ministry in forever. And he gave us a sack of tracts and just said, hand them out. No instructions or, you know, this is how you do this or whatever. And so, you know, I figured out what I was doing. But then Caroline, this is another part about her, she was getting so frustrated because she was like, no one's taking my thing and I don't know what to do, Mama. And I said, well, baby, you've got to think of something that's going to make them want to take that tract from your hand. Because, you know, who's going to take something just shoved in their face? And so at first she kind of frustrated me because she sat down and she started reading the tract. And I was like, what in the world are you doing? But then when she read it, she said God showed her what to tell the people when she gave it to him. And then she was so proud of herself because she gave every single one of those tracts out. So that was really awesome. So I was very proud of her for pushing through. Yes, that. But my biggest takeaway from this trip, Andy wanted me and Caroline to go because he felt like we needed an adventure and a perspective switch, because I'm a girl half empty, glass half empty kind of girl, unfortunately. And he's always the faith in the glass is overflowing, and it's awesome. So he needed me to see, you know, have a perspective switch. So, and I did, though, guys, because I was, you know, looking around, the water thing, the bath thing. We had to take a bath with buckets. You know, they collect their water from their roof and hope to God it rains that they're going to get water so that they can take a bath and they can flush their toilet and they can wash their hands, you know. And then the fact that they're, you know, have all these chickens and are collecting the eggs and you know, have their plant trees and getting all their stuff. I mean, they have to do it all themselves. And then don't even talk about the roads that you fear for your life on because they are insane. But I was, and initially I was trying to take it all in because it's just so much. It's just hard there, guys. Life is hard in Jamaica. And that's what Pastor Mike told us. That's why he is going to Jamaica, is life is hard in Jamaica, and they have a hard life, and they need our love. They need us to go and just love on them that week. And so that's why it was so awesome to get to do that. But I realized, you know, we always say here that we are blessed in America, but I'm going to have to challenge y'all and say, I think we're a little spoiled here in America because we have so many conveniences. Jennifer told me when I got back, 90% of the world lives like Jamaica, where they don't know where they're going to get their fresh drinking water. Do y'all realize that? 90% of the world, we are so stinking blessed that we can turn on our faucet and take as long a shower as we want, right? And get warm water. I mean, it's so awesome. And so my, Andy, you're right. Yay, husband. I said it in front of everybody. My perspective has switched a little. So anyway, I want to thank y'all. And I want to thank everybody who gave to the trip and prayed for us. We just really appreciate it so much.
Good morning, everybody. Y'all wide awake? Okay. What we're going to do now, we're going to do church like we did in Jamaica. So can you go turn the air conditioning off? And we're going to start about 10:30, and we might get out about 1:30 or 2 o'clock. So you ready for that? All right. So we not only did that on Sunday, we were on a crusade weekend. And Pastor Brown, who runs the Victory Church there, said, we're going to have church Friday night. We did children's church on Saturday morning and worked on the new kids center property on Saturday morning. Saturday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. So one of the takeaways, we're all sitting at the Tasty having patties, which, how do you guys describe a patty? What is it? It's like a hot pocket. A spicy hot pocket, squished hot pocket. And we're just talking about things, and Pastor Brown goes, Pastor Montgomery, you're going to preach Friday night. Pastor Hamilton, you're going to preach Saturday. And he asked me to do the exhortation on Sunday. It's like, okay, I can talk for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Well, we all started sharing testimonies the day before. And I thought that's what Pastor Brown meant. So you talk about God equips the called, and this team was so called. It was so cool to watch them step out of their comfort zones and do things that I knew they didn't ever do before. And so Sunday morning, Pastor Brown kind of points at me and goes, okay, you ready? I'm a preparer. I'm an administrator. Didn't have a thing, okay? So I just started praying, and by the time I got up there, God gave me something to share with people, and it was so cool. I don't even remember half of what I said, but they said it was good, so I don't know. The other thing, too, was going on this trip was really a mission call, and it was Anna's desire to go back to Jamaica. We went last year and had no idea what to expect, and this year going back, it was so cool because she wanted to be there. And I wasn't going to deny my daughter because she's been through a heck of a struggle the last year. And we did it together. And you get there and you think some things are familiar from the year before. We met some people at the orphanage that actually remembered us, right? Kino, your 21 Pilots buddy, right? Yeah. But then things happen that don't have anything to do with previous, and you meet people that just needed to be loved on and to hear the word. And the neatest thing this year, the biggest takeaway for me, was to actually see a physical manifestation of the vision that Joy's father has for this kids center right next to this church. Last year we were there, it was just like a jungle, okay? You couldn't really see much. This year the grounds are cleared. There's funding to keep them clear, which is a big deal in Jamaica, because a month later, it looks like it did before you ever did anything if you don't keep the grounds down. So there's a roadway, and we actually laid out templates for where the buildings are going to be. And we prayed over the deposit money for the first building, and we talked to the construction people that are going to put the first building up on this property, which is going to help children get out of the cycle of poverty and the cycle of the tourist trade in Jamaica, where they can actually learn science and computers and step into another level of intelligence and sharing the good news with people at the same time. So I'm really excited because next time we go back, there's going to be a building there. Okay. And so y'all need to go next year. Okay. And pray, pray, pray.
All right. Thank you, guys. Cool. So we're just going to, like I said, I'm not a preacher, so we got chairs. So I've been standing in these boots all day already. So Joy's just going to share a little. We just want to, like, share our hearts and hopefully share with you guys some of God's heart and yeah. So, cool.
All right. Can y'all hear me? Yes. Okay. I'm not a preacher either. I think my friend just asked me, have you ever done this before? And I was like, well, no, but it's okay. It's going to be good.
We have notes too, so.
And like Kyle said, I just want to share our heart with you guys and just share stories and kind of a little bit about my upbringing and how I was raised. And so I hope that's okay. It's very candid and just going to be very transparent with you guys today. So it's the best way to be, right? Okay, so a little bit about myself. I grew up in a missionary family. My dad pastored until I was 9. And when I was 9, my dad had a crazy idea for us to sell our house and to live in an RV. And I have 2 older brothers, and we had a dog at the time. So it was challenging. It was really different. But to us, we kind of thought it was normal, which it was, looking back, was totally God. And so we did that. We traveled around in the RV and did mission work for about 2 years. And we spent the majority of the time in Roswell, New Mexico with the aliens, which was not the best place to be, but that's where God called us to go. And so that's what we did. And as soon as we got there, the pastor told my parents that the church just went through a really bad split, like yesterday, like the day before we got there, and was like, you know, I understand if you guys need to turn back. And my dad said, no, we believe God has called us to be here. And so that's what we're going to do. And so I was like, okay. And I'm 9. I'm not really putting the pieces together. And then the next day or a few days later, my dad was in the, we were in the RV and the little pantry. Thank you. The pantry that was little because we were in an RV. And he's rearranging like the 5 cans that we had. And I said, Dad, what are you doing? And he said, I'm making room. I'm like, what do you mean you're making room? Like, can we go to McDonald's? Or there wasn't Chick-fil-A then, I don't think. And he's like, no, Joy, I'm making room for a blessing. I'm making room for God to show up. And sure enough, a few days later, a lady knocked on our door and gave us a $300 gift card to Walmart. And time after time, while we were in Roswell, God just continued to do that. And really my takeaway with that and what I want to encourage y'all with is when we step out in faith, God is so faithful to just blow our minds. I feel like we're, you know, we're kind of comfortable in our bubble and we have this thing and God is just up in heaven like, can I bless you? I'm waiting to show myself to you, but we have to step out in faith for him to do that. Okay. Also, while we were in New Mexico, God really started to teach me that we all have a part to play in ministry and missions. And at this time, my dad would help the pastor as much as he could. Obviously, going through a split is really challenging at a church. So he did that. That was his ministry. And my oldest brother and my mom would lead worship. And then my other brother and me would dance. And that was our form of ministry. And we were kids and we would teach kids how to dance. And that's what we knew to do, you know. And so that's what we did. And again, I want to encourage y'all to know that we all have something to give. We all are a part of this big plan of missions and have a part to play. So fast forward a little bit. After our time was up in New Mexico, again, the Lord was speaking to my dad and my mom and told us, okay, think bigger. It's bigger than just America. And so he started to really put the world in my dad's heart and my mom's heart. And so we moved back to Florida, and we raised funds, and then we moved to Europe again. Again, it was a stretch of faith. We stepped out in faith and believed that God was going to provide. It was really hard to get funds. It was kind of the time when some stuff with the economy was happening. But we felt like, okay, this is the time to do it. We believe God's calling us to do it. And we lived with the pastor and his wife there and their family. And so that meant that the five of us, again, are going to be in one bedroom, and we slept on air mattresses for 6 months. And really, that's not, yes, that's hard, but guys, compared to what Christine was saying, life in Jamaica is hard. That's nothing, guys. That's the least we can do, is to be a little bit uncomfortable. And so my time in Europe, I was still young. I was probably about 11 at this time. And my brother and I continued to dance and do our part and just kind of trying to figure things out. But this was the time where I really fell in love with the local church. And Jennifer Watson says the local church is the hope of the world. And I firmly believe that. I'm passionate about the church. I'm passionate about our church. I'm passionate about churches around the world. And I want to encourage y'all to get on board and be passionate about that as well. So after we lived in Europe for a while, my brothers and I kind of, which looking back, I'm like, why did we want this? But we wanted to kind of have a little bit of a normal life. And so my parents prayed about it and felt like that was fine. So we moved back to South Florida and went to school. But on breaks, we would go and do short-term missions trips. And we would go to Colombia, back to Europe, and then Jamaica. And I want to talk about...
You're doing great.
Okay.
Just so you guys know, she got super sick last night, so she's really doing awesome.
Okay. Colombia really holds, such a special place in my heart. We went to... the school was called El Pacto, and I was 14 at the time when we went, and we did our normal thing. We went to the school, we loved on the kids, we did skits and dramas, and just loved on the things. Okay. But at the end, there are these two girls that I really kind of connected with, and they were young. They were probably, I think, 7 and 9. And at the end, I talked to one of the teachers, and she just broke down and started crying and said, you know, these... these girls walk 2 to 3 hours to get to school one way, and then they're walking back late, and it gets dark. And when it gets dark in the mountains of Colombia, it's dangerous. And she told me that these two girls that, that I was playing with just got raped this past week. And I didn't know what to do, and so I cried. I just hugged this lady, and she didn't know what to do either. And I was asking the Lord, what do I do? And I was mad, honestly, guys. Like, justice inside of me, I get mad when I hear these things, and rightly so. I think we need to. And so I asked God, I'm like, why? Why is this happening, and what can I do? And, you know, we pray all the time, and I don't expect God to always answer, and he did. He does. And he said, I want you to pray. I'm calling you to pray. And I'm like, Lord, that's it? That's all you're going to give me? I want to do more than just pray. And he's like, he changed my mindset on what prayer meant. Guys, when we pray, it changes things. It changes, it moves mountains when we pray. You know, we can't dismiss, oh, just pray. No, let's pray right now. You know what I mean? Like, let's pray. And our prayer changes things in the spiritual realm and in the physical realm. And so that's what I did with that, with the teacher. We prayed. We prayed for protection. I want to, another story in Colombia was that next year. I was 15 years old, and for whatever reason, Colombia just, I have a friend here who's marrying a missionary to Colombia next week, or in 2 weeks. Colombia just holds such a special place in my heart. I love Colombia. All these places, but Colombia really is where God changed my life and gave me a heart for his people. So we went to a women's rehab center. These ladies, various stories, addicted to cocaine, addicted to heroin, all these different drugs, and sold into prostitution. And my dad asked me, again, short notice, said, "Hey, Joy, can you share tomorrow?" And I said, okay, sure. And so I did, and I you know, I asked the Lord, what can I share about? The only thing I knew that I could share with these ladies was the love of God, and to keep it simple, right? The gospel is simple. And to tell them that they're loved, they're cherished, that they're going to be okay, and that they're in a good place. And so that's what I did. Turned up my mic. after I shared, me and my friend and then three other ladies that were in the rehab center shared their stories with us. And there's one lady in particular that just really broke my heart. She was young, and like I said before, you know, she was, her parents sold her into prostitution. She got addicted to heroin and then found herself on the streets. And that's just the cycle. That's what happens. That's the reality of these people's lives. And as I heard her again, all I could do was cry with her and pray. And then the bus ride on our way back to the mission house changed my life forever. I sat in the back. It was a 2-hour bus ride, and I, again, was like, "God, why? Why?" But this time I was asking the question, "Why did you have mercy on me?" Why? I could have been that person. I could have been addicted to cocaine. I could have been raped at 14 or at 12 or 5 or 3. That could have been me. That could have been my reality. And again, the Lord answered me when I asked him a question. He said, "I had mercy on you because I know that you're going to do something about what you've seen." Guys, we've seen these things. If you haven't seen these things, you've heard it. We have to do something about it. If we love God, then we need to be about God's business. And this is God's business, guys. These are our brothers and sisters that are crying out for someone to inconvenience themselves for a second and take a bucket shower. Like, that's what it is, to step out in faith and to make a difference. Okay, almost done. I just want to leave y'all with 3 action steps, if I can stop crying. the first is to pray. I encourage y'all to pray. And I know some people, maybe you haven't had an experience, like this and haven't seen these things, so it feels so far off and it's hard to relate. But as we pray, God's going to give us a heart for his people. God has commanded us to do this. And I want to also encourage you to pray for the missionaries that we support on a monthly basis. They need our prayers, and when we pray, things happen. The second one is to give. Matthew 6:23 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I know we don't like to talk about money, but where are we putting our money? Are we using it for good or for bad? Are we making a difference with what God has given us? And I don't know if y'all know this, but we support monthly missionaries around the world. One is SOS. I think y'all have heard us talk about them a lot. They rescue girls from sex trafficking in India, and they give them a safe house and a new life and restoration. And we support missionaries in Israel, and we support mission organizations locally. Guys, our money, our tithe and offering goes to help support these people. And then the last one is my favorite, go. And Matthew 16:15 said, "He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation.'" I want to encourage you guys to go. Be inconvenienced for a moment to make someone's life. I read, I had my friend translate, I read some of these notes from, 8 years ago. And of those ladies from the women's center, or the rehab center, and they wrote in my journal, and I actually forgot about it until my friend translated it for me. And they were just so blessed and honored that we even took time out of our lives to see them. That makes a difference, guys. So that's all I have. Now it's Kyle's turn.
Great job, babe. Mine's not going to be that good. So, and hopefully I don't cry because I feel like a crybaby right now. That would be embarrassing. So, you know, God works in funny and interesting ways sometimes. So I grew up in a town called Springtown. Who's heard of Springtown? Like three of you. Okay, cool. yeah, it's a pretty small town out in the country. There's more cows than there are dogs. I never really had much of a desire to travel except to travel out of that town into the city. I never really had a, even like a vacation, like I didn't really even care about traveling that much or doing mission work abroad. It was just never on my heart. In fact, I didn't have a passport until about 2.5 years ago. And, I just thought that God had given me this musical ability, and I just thought, you know, that means my ministry is worship, and missions is for other people. And so, I actually had never flown in an airplane until I started dating her. And the first time, so I flew to Florida to meet her family, and pretty much as soon as we landed, her dad was like, "Hey, man, let's go to lunch and have a chat." Yeah. And in case you guys don't know, you probably don't, because that's weird if you would, but she had never dated anyone before me. So this chat was kind of that dad meets the boyfriend and hints at his gun collection. And so anyways, we go through the meeting. He starts talking about this, how Joy is meant to travel the world and how she's always had a desire in her heart and how she'll never be satisfied just living the sort of American dream and just living at home and not being able to go help people and do things around the world. And so I kind of brushed it. I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit, but not in person because he's a big guy. So kind of brushed it off a little bit. But over time, I've really gotten to see how much that really is a desire. And you can, like, if anyone's talked to her for more than 5 minutes, you'll know that that's such a part of who she is. And but back to the how God works in funny ways. I think a lot of you guys know that a couple years after we got married, I got a job, a filmmaking job, which is, that's why I got the job, because I wanted to do filmmaking. And it turns out that it's a job that sends me to other countries about 6 to 8 times a year doing with organizations that are doing humanitarian work in different countries. And so now I get to go all over the world doing these trips, and Joy's kind of been stuck at home for a little while, fulfilling the other side of her calling, which is to go to school to be a counselor, and she's almost done with that. And it's really cool. Yeah, master's degree. Boom. But she, and just a side note, she would always tell me, like, all these things that she wanted to do, and I'm thinking, wait, how are you going to do all of those things? Like, I mean, it's pretty crazy. But it's really cool to see how, like, as time goes on, all those things are starting to line up, you know, through the people she's meeting and through the organization she's getting in contact with. And it's pretty cool. She's going to do some insane things in her life. So, I get to go to all these cool places in the world. And you can start throwing up some of those pictures. We go to Africa a lot, and do we have the pictures? Yeah, there we go. So you get to see these beautiful places in the mountains. You can go to the next one. Been to Africa, a lot of countries in Africa. That was in Peru. You can go to the next one. And that's me chopping down a tree in Peru. Actually, I didn't do that, but it looked cool. Actually, I had to go to the restroom in the woods, and so I took an axe with me as protection, and I came out walking out of the woods with an axe, and they thought it was funny. So, anyways, we get to do cool stuff like that. On my last trip, I got to try this. If you guys have heard of baobab tree, the fruit on it's like this dried fruit, and I got that little. Those guys were eating it, and so they let me try it, and that was cool. It was pretty good. You know, we get to do, like, in Zambia, we were shooting a video about what kids want to be when they grow up, and so we get to have some fun with the kids. We have that picture here. The next one. There we go. Yeah. So, anyways, we get to do, like, a lot of really cool, fun stuff and see really cool stuff. But, you know, it's easy to get, like, caught up in the places that we go and all the things we get to see. And for me, it's easy to hide behind the camera and sort of not make that human connection with the people that I'm filming, kind of really hear and see and hear their pain and the struggle that they're going through. So on the last trip, we went to this graveyard. Do we have that picture? So we came here. We actually just came from a malnutrition clinic, and we came over to this graveyard that the clinic uses, and there's a bunch of guys out there digging these graves in multiples, which isn't something you normally see here. And the reason they're doing that is because so many kids are dying, like, every single day, that they just dig them in bulk, essentially, because, you know, that's the only way they can keep up. And so I pull the camera down from my face, and I really take it in, and I have to look and see, like, what do these holes represent? And what they really represent is a need. You know, these kids didn't do anything wrong. They just don't have food, you know? And they didn't get the same fair shake that we got. And so, you know, I've been to a lot of villages, I don't have a photo for this, but where we ask the moms, you know, how many children have you lost? And all of the moms except very, very young moms will hold up their fingers like this. And a lot of them, especially the older ones, are having to count on two hands how many kids they've lost. And, you know, it's hard to wrap your head around it sometimes because, you know, they're just trying to survive. I just want to say, you know, we all have our own cameras that we can hide behind, sort of blinders that allow us to ignore the things that are hard to see or hard to deal with. You know, God has called us to do these hard things. He's called us to look, because if we don't look, if we don't do something about it, who's going to do anything about it? You know? God is love, so as Christians, our biggest desire should be to manifest his love throughout the whole world. Again, on this last trip, we went to a village to film this feeding program that is funded by Mission Dollars, and we came across this little guy. He was standing in line to get food. He was kind of standing on one foot, and I looked down, and his other foot is, like, rotting away, and we start talking to him, and he tells us that he doesn't have shoes, so it's gotten infested with these bugs that he can't get out because they've dug into his skin, and he's crying and he's itching. And guys, it's shoes. It's really simple, you know. You know, how many shoes do we have, Joy? it's shoes, you know. And luckily, yeah, I mean, we had shoes there. But the cool thing is, you never know what God will do when you step out in faith. So this, I think I have a photo of Janice. She's a photographer who goes on these trips with us, and she's an amazing photographer. She's such an amazing heart. She actually has a photography book that is really, really, yeah, it'll mess you up. But before this trip, a friend of her had met with her and gave her a handful of cash and said, I want you to find someone who needs this. And so she was able to use that money to send that little boy and these two other kids who also had some severe health problems to the clinic, and they told us that that money would cover all of their medical needs for those three kids. And you know, it's sometimes you don't get to see what your investment does. Sometimes you don't get to see the results of it, but you can save someone's life. You can make a huge impact on their life just by stepping out in faith. You know, he doesn't call us to always know how everything turns out, but he calls us to obey. So, I heard this quote. It says, "The mark of a great church is not its seating capacity, but its sending capacity." And, you know, we're so honored to be in a church under Pastor Keith and Jennifer who really understand God's heart for the world. And, you know, and that's what they're doing right now. That's the reason we're talking to you guys, is because they're out doing what they feel like God called them to do. And they're out in Austria just ministering and sharing God's love to teenagers. So, you know, a lot of people think missions isn't really my thing, or God hasn't called me to missions. There's another quote from William Booth. It says, "Not called, did you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say." He wasn't very subtle. So, if we really believe in the Bible and what he taught, then we have to be about missions. Psalm says, "Make known among the nations what he has done." It's clear. And Jesus tells us so plainly, "Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." You know, it's kind of funny. I mean, it says, make disciples of all the nations. They didn't have airplanes or Facebook or anything that we have today that makes the world smaller. So if he was telling his disciples to do that, how much more is he telling us to do that now that we have the easy ability to do it? But not only did he tell us to go in the world, he was actually, I mean, I guess you could say he was the greatest missionary on the earth. He said, "As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." So think about it this way. Jesus actually came down from heaven, a place that was pretty comfortable, I bet. A place that, it was a safe place. And he came down to earth to comfort the widow and the orphan and to feed the poor and to heal the sick. He wasn't concerned about the fact that he couldn't bring his throne with him. He wasn't concerned about sleeping in a tent or on an air-up mattress or that there wasn't a Starbucks within driving distance. He just knew that there were lost and hurting people that needed God's love. So, you know, the interesting thing is sometimes just the fact that you've traveled 1,000 miles to go catch someone on the sidewalk and say, "God loves you," and say, "How are you doing?" that can make a huge impact on their life. And yeah, so just want to close with God has called us all to missions, and he wants to bless you as much as he's blessed, as much as you bless those you're serving, and he will. And I think you've seen that through these testimonies. Next time we have a mission trip, just go. God will provide, and he's going to bless you greatly. And like Joy said, know the missionaries that we support. Pray for them, and even you can find your own organizations that you want to support that resonate with you. So thanks again for listening, and thanks for sending us and praying for us, and we love you guys.
Is that good, guys? I want to read something real quick, and then we'll dismiss. Excuse me. This is Isaiah. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to build up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, and to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the day of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priest of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in the inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. And so this is Isaiah. He's just given us charge. And what I'm getting from that is, that's the Great Commission, even in the Old Testament. We're going, we're loving on people, we're helping the poor, we're rebuilding areas that are war-torn. Guys, I went to South Sudan, and they're still fighting in tribes and killing one another and burning down villages. And it's because they don't know the truth of the gospel. They don't know the love of Jesus Christ. So when our teams go out there and they show the love, even if it's as simple as giving a small gift or a token to a little child, or spending a little time holding their hand, they're displaying the love of Christ. And I know for some of you, maybe that's not your calling, and God has called us each differently. But it's like Joyce said, God called all of us to pray. God spoke a world into existence with his words. So I encourage you to pray for the nations. I can't tell you the countless times that I hop in my car on my way to work and I turn on my praise song for a minute, and then I begin to pray for my day, and it's, Lord God, help my, and Lord help my this, and Lord would you give me this, and Lord kind of, and man, 90% of the world doesn't have fresh drinking water. A boy can't experience football or soccer because his foot is rotted off because he can't have a pair of shoes. And we're not talking about two pair of Air Jordans, we're talking about a shoe. We all have the capacity to do that. And I think I got from this morning just a charge to make this priority, just like you put your budget together and you go, okay, this is our cable bill, this is our Netflix bill, this is our Apple Music bill, this is our Starbucks, this is, put a budget in there to change problems around the world. I just encourage you, I charge you with that this morning, because that is the Great Commission. You might not can go, but your money can go, and it can get there a lot cheaper than you can. So I just want to, let's just stand up real quick. And I feel like the Holy Spirit might be calling some of you to think about what it is that you can do. There are many opportunities through and in our church to give. But the Bible also says that we're to impact our area, our state, our nation, you know, and the world. Some of us, your ministry is giving in Arlington. There's Mission Arlington. There's Goodwill. There's places you can drop your clothes off that are still better than the no clothes that some people have. There are food banks here in town. There are places for you to serve that way. Some of you, it is, check out a trip. Kyle can tell you about trips that they go on. We do a variety of trips. We have ministries that actually go out and they build churches, they build marketplace. Like if you're in the marketplace, we support a ministry that goes out to businesses, and then they grow the economy in a country through Christian businessmen and women. So just check out what we're doing here. Ask Kyle, ask Joy. They can point you somewhere. But I feel like we have to get outside of the comfort of the West, of our American dream, because God has a dream. And his dream is that the whole world be restored unto him. And that's our job as the Great Commission. So let's just pray. Father, First of all, God, we just come before you, a king. Lord, members of a kingdom. God, you've given us all such unique giftings. Lord, you've put different things in our hearts. Lord, I pray that those gifts, Lord, those desires that you've put in our hearts, that we would view them through the compassion of Jesus Christ. Lord, I know we want to do things excellently and do them for you and to please you with them, but God, show us how what we do with our money, with our time, with our gifts, show us how we can do that to bring restoration to this age. And that we can reconcile the lost, the hurting, the poor, the captive unto you. And Lord, I pray just a special blessing, God, on our missionaries that we support. Lord, I pray that you would fill up, Lord, their storehouses. Lord, their financial needs, Lord, their emotional needs, their spiritual needs. God, I pray that you just begin to pour that out. And Lord, we're grateful that we could have come together today, Lord, and we could meet in the freedom of America where we can practice worshiping you without being persecuted. Lord, be with the persecuted church. Lord, the people that are being killed or captured or tortured because you appeared to them. And now they have to do your will. Lord, give strength to those people that that's happening to right now. Lord, be with those that are in a cage somewhere. Lord, be with those that the pains of hunger are with them now. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would begin to solve those poverty issues through the church. And we would be your hands and we would be your feet and we would go. And we know that you have a plan. And we just trust you, God. Soften our hearts and lead us. We listen to the prodding of your spirit and show us how we can give and we can go. Show us how Homefront Church can be a light to a dark world. And we ask all of this and we declare it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.